That's right. Youth camp is on its way. And it wouldn't be a youth camp at Promo if it wasn't just a little bit interesting with the music, right? Did you like that song?
No.
You didn't like that song? Okay, well, it's supposed to vibe with you guys, I guess. So.
It was mid.
Leah likes it, but she likes that kind of music. So hey, May 29th to June 1st. And you're like, wow, that's really far away. But I wanted to say that because it's going to be $175 per student to go. And what we want to do is right now, today, as of today, I have told Southern Missouri Youth Ministry that we are taking 10 youth with us to camp. That's what I told them. So that's our goal, girls. That's our goal, folks that are online. We need to get some folks to camp. $175, yes, it's a good chunk of change. But stretch it out to when we actually need the money, and we'll be good to go. So we just need to get the money somewhere before the first Sunday in May. So we've got a good bit of time to save up for youth camp. And I'm hoping to get, let's see here, I'm thinking we've got four girls, five, six, we got seven just in here already, in the church already, that could go to camp. So this is for junior hires and high schoolers. We are going on week one, which is the short week. We're doing that for a couple reasons, because I don't know if you know anything about Conway schools, but there's always summer school. And summer school is incredibly popular with all of the kids in school. And this will only keep them out for 2 days, as opposed to a full week, which is kind of a nice thing.
Yay.
So there's really no good week to do it in comparison to what's going on with summer school and vacations and everything else. So instead of fighting family vacations and everything else, it's just like, let's just do it here. And then it takes up less time. It also costs less. And Elsa Wood is going to be our speaker.
Elise
Wood?
Yeah.
You've met her?
No, it's Elise, because that's what it says. It's
Elsie?
Not Elsa. Elsa spelled different.
Abby, just let it go. Pastor Wood is going to be speaking, and I love this because it's an opportunity for our young ladies and young guys to come in and really hear the heart of God coming from a woman. And how many times have you had that happen at a conference for folks recently? Okay, women, probably you've had it more than us guys, but it's kind of a nice change for us. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. It's going to be a whole lot of excitement, and everyone is going to be completely exhausted when we get back. But as these two could tell you, and my wife can tell you, there's nothing like youth camp. It's just awesome.
Go to bed at 1, get up at 6, paint all day, and then Christ.
There you go. That's the summary. It's up near Lake of the Ozarks at the campsite that they have up there. It's on a peninsula, so we can't lose the kids unless they want to swim. It's wonderful. It's like Alcatraz with a peninsula. Locks them in.
Oh, Alcatraz. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We have to go back to our room.
The rooms are like dorm rooms. It's very nice, yeah. So, and the pastor always stays in the hotel. Anyway, so cool. Well, we got that coming up. $175 covers admission and transportation. If you look online, it'll tell you it costs a certain amount of money. That's just for the admission, but we need to make some money in order to pay for the gas to get everyone up there. So that's why it's $175. Also, we're going to be feeding everyone lunch on the way there and on the way back. So, yay. Yes, invite Walker. That's on the recording now. All right. This is incredibly short notice, but I just found out about this week. There is an event called, it's a district-wide event for men, women, and teens, and it is called Disciple Maker. So this is happening on Friday from 6 to 9:30 p.m. And we're going to leave the church from the church at 4:30 to go there. We can either caravan if you want to take your own vehicle, or we will all pile into the van and go that way. It is $25 per person, and it includes dinner, but it's a one-night opportunity to learn about discipleship and learn a little bit more about being a disciple of Christ. It's going to be kind of cool. I'm planning on going. My wife is planning on going, and my girls didn't know this, but they're planning on going. Or at least one of my girls are planning on going.
Okay, I'll go.
I'm going.
One of my girls is probably going to stay home and watch the boys, and one of my girls is going to go. And we're going to do...
We already agreed on this, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah, we did. We agreed on this. You're not old enough, guys. So, all right. So that's going to be fun. I wanted to invite you to that. I'm sorry that it's short notice. I just found out about it. Sometimes it takes a little while for things to trickle down to the rural churches. We're working on that. All right. Next up is, as you guys know, we have the annual church meeting coming up, the business meeting coming up. That's going to be on the 28th, and we'll be leaving here at 5:45. We have our brand new WATW, as I call them. I literally have started calling you guys WATW.
Water.
Watwa. Warriors at the Well. This is their brand new logo, courtesy of our amazing artist over here, who's slightly embarrassed. You did great job, kid. So Sundays, 7 p.m., including tonight, right?
Yes.
So if you don't want to watch the football game, come on in. And cool. We do have a change for divorce care, and this is going to be important for anyone who wants to come to divorce care. It is now going to be on Monday nights. Monday nights at 6:30 p.m., divorce care, Monday nights. So I want to invite everyone to come in, and I just spoke with Rick and Janet. I think you said that we're going to just restart the whole thing, right? Yeah, so we're going to start from the very beginning because it's a very good place to start. And so Monday nights, I encourage everyone to come. Who needs to come? You can follow along on service online with the app. It should be live, and you should be able to pull up all the scripture we're going to be reading from and everything else. But if you will right now, if you will stand with me, we're going to get ready for some worship this morning. Lord God, we thank you so much. We thank you that we have an opportunity to come together, that we can be in this room safely when other people in the world are in danger of being attacked or jailed. We have the freedom to worship you, God. I pray that we would not take that for granted and that we would be bold in our worship today. I thank you, Lord. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, may your name be glorified above all others, above all this world, above everything else that's in our lives. For nothing else in all of this world matters but to live our lives for you and you alone. May your wonders never cease. May your spirit never leave. May we ever long to see your face. When we've turned from you again, oh, how quickly we forget. May we be reminded of your grace. May your wonders never cease. All right. seas. May your spirit never leave. May we ever long to see your face. When we turn from you again, oh, how quickly we forget. May we be reminded of your grace. May your wonders never cease. I'm fighting a battle
you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you do, but I've known what you do.
I'm fighting a battle you've already won. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won.
Thank you. story ends. We will be with you again. You're my Savior, my defense. No more fear in life or death.
I know how the story ends.
The story ends. We will be with you again. You're my Savior, my defense. No more fear in life or death.
I know how the story ends.
Thank you.
astounded by your mercy and love. Hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough.
There's no
one. There is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than you. Let my life forever praise.
Start to forget all of the great things you did. When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe you were sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You are more than able. You are more than able. More than able, you are more than able.
How can I to deny what the Lord can do?
Faith in the room, what the Lord can do, what the Lord can do. It's gonna happen, just let the rain make it through. He's gonna move, he's gonna move. Can you imagine, with all the faith in the room, what the Lord can do, what the Lord can do. It's gonna happen. It's gonna move.
You are more than able. You are more than able. You are more than able. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? I've come a long way. I've seen how you work. There's so much goodness and grace, much more than I deserve. Cause I know who I am. I can't stay where I'm at. We've come too far by faith, and I just can't turn back. It's not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet. There's so much wrong in the story. You're not done with me yet. Not done with me yet. Not done with me yet. There's so much wrong in the story. You're not done with me yet.
Finish up the worship today. I want you to spend yourself upon the altar of the Lord today. Give all of who you are to Him today. There's no denying His glory, no denying His power, no denying that He knows everything about us. everything about you. Everything in your past and your presence and your future. The Lord has plans for your life, plans to see you prosper, just as he did with Israel. But we're left with that choice of whether we're going to live in the blessings of God, if we are going to walk away from them. The theme throughout our series is summed up in these words. They forgot about the Lord. Did you forget him? In the decisions you make day by day, do you forget him? In the decisions for your family, do you forget him? Or do you take the time to listen for the direction of the Lord in your life? Do you make your decisions based upon your feelings at the time, or your emotions, or your thoughts? Or are you following the direction of the Holy Spirit? Church, the Lord wants to bless you in every single way. But if we don't honor our Father, life will not go well for us. Lord, thank you, Jesus. I pray that you would be in the hearts of everyone in this room today. And I thank you that we have this opportunity to worship in your presence today, God.
Turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Who needs the peace of the Lord today in their life? Let's sing that again.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face towards you and give me peace.
Amen.
Amen.
your spirit never leave. May we ever long to see your face. When we've turned from you again, oh, how quickly we forget. May we be reminded of your grace. May your wonders never cease. May your spirit never leave. May we ever long to see your face. May we turn from you again. Oh, how quickly we forget. May we be reminded of your grace. May your wonders never cease.
Church, right now I want you to lift your heart to heaven. All those burdens that are troubling you, all those things that annoy you, those things that are weighing you down in your life, give them up to the Lord and let His power change all of that. Let your life be lived in a constant state of amen. It is finished. It is done. Church, the Lord already has the victory. He's already won. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we get into the service today, I pray that you would be with all of our hearts today. Be in our mouths. Lord, as the kids go off to learn more about you, have it retained in their hearts as well, God. I thank you so much for everyone in this church that's come to worship today and love on you, Jesus. Be a blessing in their lives today. Have us be a blessing to yours. Thank you, Lord. Name, amen. Take some time and say hi to some folks this morning.
We sing to the God who saves. We sing to
Good morning. Oh, man. We're going to go ahead and pick up our tithes and offerings with our Vanna Abbey here. Yeah. So we have started doing band practice on Saturdays, actually, around... It's supposed to start at 11. It's been starting at 11:30. It's Elizabeth's fault usually, but that's okay. We love her. If anyone is interested in joining the worship team as a singer, you guys could show up at 9:15 on Sunday mornings and practice the songs on stage. So what we could do is I would actually set you up with a program that we use called Planning Center, and that sends out the music to you, and you have the track with it, so you can practice the songs and get the words down and all this other stuff. So that way, on Sunday morning when you show up, you're not surprised, which is always kind of nice. And then you practice the songs. Right now we're finalizing. Like today, we actually finalized the final set before church today, but that's because God had other plans and wanted to change things. So. It's what happens when the pastor prays sometimes. God changes the pastor's mind, and that's a good thing. But anyway, Lord God, thank you for the giving hearts of the folks of this church that continue to support the ministry that we do here, and I thank you so much for the great things that are upcoming, God, and all the stuff that we're sustaining in this community. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I had a great conversation with a parent on Friday of one of our students at the Bear's Den. It's actually a grandparent. His parents, the kid's parents are also involved with the Bear's Den, but the grandparent was picking up the kids that day. And he was just saying what a blessing it is that we have the Bear's Den. And I said, that's awesome. I'd love to get us up to 20 students. Please help with that. So so yeah, we're doing some good stuff. And we've had some really positive feedback about Dina, who is our manager over there, and everything that she's doing. We are actually in the process right now of interviewing people so that we can add to the team over there. So we're looking to add one more person. If you are interested in applying, there's the job posted on Indeed. You can go on there and find it there. It pays $14 an hour. It's the hours are fairly flexible. We're trying to get someone for the afternoons and for help on Fridays as well. But if you know of anybody or if you're interested, you can go online and apply there. We've already gotten 20 applicants, believe it or not. So, yeah, 20 applicants. Last time I checked, and that was on Friday, so who knows how many we have today. So Dina is doing the hiring process and all that. One of the cool things about the Bear's Den, me as the director, if you want to call it that, or the head pastor, I kind of just handle the paperwork and then keep Dina accountable, and that's it. And she doesn't keep me busy on that part too often. So, I mean, it's pretty cool when you've got great people working with you to make these programs happen, and I love it. So we are, my big project this week is actually to get the tax forms out for the Bear's Den, because if you didn't know that child care is actually tax deductible, not to mention they're giving money to a nonprofit, which is the church. Anyway, it gets very complicated. And so this year and probably next year, I'm going to have to manually create every single tax form. And so therefore, I'm praising the Lord that we don't have a ton of families right now, because that would be a very long week. But we've got some systems in place to make it better in two years. January's already affected this year, so we're going to have to do it manually again next year. But the next year after that, we should be able to push a button, and there it goes, pops right up. It's going to be awesome. Thank you, Lord. On another note, if you're wondering where your tax forms are for your giving for the church, I just saw on Tuesday when I was at Chesterfield that they were putting them into envelopes. Did you get yours? I haven't gotten mine yet. I bet mine's going to be in the mail today or tomorrow. So, unless we did get it and I didn't know about it, because I don't always see the mail at home. I don't know if you know this, but we have it set up in my house where my wife handles all of our personal finances. So that way, I don't do our personal finances. I handle the church finances. So that way, there's a separation in there. Separation between church and house, yes, as Abigail puts it. So, but it's to help with maintaining separation. So that, yeah. Does that make sense? Because people get funny around money, especially in church money situations. And we don't want any of that stuff around here. So I will do everything in my power as the pastor to try to avoid that at all costs. Right? Right. Anybody ready for some more snow? I'm sick of this water, man. My yard is a mud bath. The poor cow fields like out past my house, they are just like mud bogs. So, I don't know. Maybe it'd be a healthy thing. You get like a mud bath, or you just put it over your face or something. Would that be good? No? Anyway. Not with the dirt composition in Missouri? A little high in iron, probably? Clay. So, all right. Well, we're in Judges. And everyone's going, yeah, we know. We've been in Judges forever. We've been in Judges a long time, haven't we? Have you guys learned anything in this series? Have you been like, has God showed you anything throughout this whole series that we've been in Judges? Listen to God, not yourself. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Well, I have some news. We're moving on to Samson. Who likes Mr. Samson? Who's like, Samson? He's awesome. Right? Yeah. So we're going to start today with what's called Samson's birth story. So if you want to follow along with me, we're going to be in Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 25. And it says this, Again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Philistines, who oppressed them for 40 years. That's a long time. In fact, it's twice as long as any other oppression that they've been through. In those days, a man named Manoah from the tribe of Dan lived in the town of Zorah. His wife was unable to become pregnant, and they had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife and said, "Even though you have been unable to have children, you will soon become pregnant and give birth to a son. So be careful. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food." Nowadays, we just call that normal. "You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and his hair must never be cut, for he will be dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. He will begin to rescue Israel from the Philistines." The woman ran and told her husband, "A man of God appeared to me. He looked like one of God's angels, terrifying to see. I didn't ask where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he told me, 'You will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink, nor eat any forbidden food, for your son will be dedicated to God as a Nazirite from the moment of his birth until the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Lord, please let the man of God come back to us again and give us more instructions about this son who is to be born.' God answered Manoah's prayer, and the angel of God appeared once again to his wife as she was sitting in the field. But her husband, Manoah, was not with her. So she quickly ran and told her husband, 'The man who appeared to me the other day is here again.' Manoah ran back with his wife and asked, 'Are you the man who spoke to my wife the other day?' 'Yes,' he replied, 'I am.' So Manoah asked him, 'When your words come true, what kind of rules should govern the boy's life and work?' The angel of the Lord replied, 'Be sure your wife follows the instructions I gave her. She must not eat grapes or raisins, drink wine or any of the alcoholic drinks, or eat any forbidden food.' Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Please stay here until we can prepare a young goat for you to eat.' 'I will stay,' the angel of the Lord replied, 'but I will not eat anything. However, you may prepare a burnt offering as a sacrifice to the Lord.' Manoah didn't realize it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name? For when all of this comes true, we want to honor you.' 'Why do you ask my name?' the angel of the Lord replied. 'It's too wonderful for you to understand.' Then Manoah took a young goat and grain offering and offered it on a rock as a sacrifice to the Lord, and Manoah and his wife watched. The Lord did an amazing thing. As the flames rose from the altar, shot up towards the sky, the angel of the Lord ascended in the fire. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell with their faces to the ground. The angel did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Manoah finally realized it was the angel of the Lord, and he said to his wife, 'We will certainly die, for we have seen God.' But his wife said, 'If the Lord were to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our burnt offering and grain offering. He wouldn't have appeared to us and told us this wonderful thing and done these miracles.' When her son was born, she gave him the name Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up. As the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he lived in Manaah Dan, which is located between the towns of Zorah and Eshtaol." That's a lot of information, isn't it? There's a lot going on there. So let me ask you a question. What similarities do you see to other judges about the passage we just read? None? What similarities do you see in this passage? They didn't believe the angel was of the Lord. And who does that remind you of? Okay, yeah. But let's see here. Like the Samson's father, Manoah, who did he really not believe? His wife. So he needed proof, right? Is there anyone else in the Bible anyone else from the book of Judges that you can think of that needed proof about what God had told them? Gideon. Right. So we're seeing a theme here, right? What's Manoah's wife's name? I missed that one. Doesn't say. Who's the key player in here other than God? Manoah's wife. The unnamed wife is the key player in here. She's the one that has faith, isn't she? Not only does Manoah not believe her, he also doesn't believe the angel. Did you catch that? What else do you see in here that's similar to the rest of the times of Judges that we've seen? All the way back to the first verse. No, that they're not exiled. They're being oppressed because they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Once again, right? So here's what happens. For 20 years, under Jephthah, the previous judge that was around for a long time, Israel was being oppressed. And then they called out to God, and God came and gave them a judge. In this instance, they're being oppressed for 40 years. And then Israel calls out, right? No. They don't. Israel has come to accept their oppression. Guys like Manoah and his wife just want to be left alone. They're like, okay, fine. We'll come under the Philistines, whatever. They gave up. But God didn't. God sent an angel saying, I'm going to send a deliverer. And he's going to save your people from oppression. And gave them the rules. You know, wife of Manoah, don't drink alcohol. And don't eat unclean food. And Samson can't cut his hair. All right. So let me ask you this question. Has anyone ever done something nice for you without asking? Without you asking? Yeah. What? Gift giving, okay. Go ahead. Help around the house when no one asks you to do it. This is kind of a rare thing sometimes, isn't it? Yeah? A lot of times you have to ask or, you know, demand that things be done so that they be done right, right? It is such a wonderful thing when my kids do their chores and I don't have to tell them to do it. It's a wonderful thing. But honestly, I'm not sure I can remember the last time that happened. So, it is sometimes. It's nice when they do it, even when you tell them, but if they do it without you telling them, it's kind of cool, right? Yeah. See, God is sending a deliverer even though nobody ever asked for it. Why? Because God is cool, okay. Well, why is he sending a deliverer? Well, they didn't seem to care. He made a promise. And what was the promise? Yeah. Yeah. And they were to be the seed of what? Where Jesus came from. Salvation of the world. Live in the land of milk and honey. Can't do that if you're oppressed. But here's the deal. If your people are being oppressed and you're beginning to meld into the people of the Philistines and the locals and the Canaanites and everyone else, what do you lose? your identity, your culture, all the above, right? So what is apathy? There's a big word. Not caring anymore. Can anyone give me an example of apathy? Panhandlers on the side of the road, okay. And why do we have that kind of apathy? We've been scammed by them too much, yeah. I mean, what else? What else do we? What other examples can you think of apathy? Hungry people around the world. I see us all jumping up to help them. People without water. War, famine, disease, death. People going to hell. And us not really doing anything about it. Right? Apathy. Here's the deal. Israel is being oppressed by the Philistines. They'd been oppressed for 40 years, twice as long as any other time. And unlike all the other times, they don't make an appeal to God at all. The people have become apathetic. They don't care anymore. They've fully integrated into the Canaanite life. They don't show any desire to be saved anymore. Honestly, I mean, after you've been saved a couple times and you end up going back, doesn't it kind of make sense that that would have happened? You know, God saves us, but hey, we're just going to go do what we want to do anyway. So they just kind of gave up. You ever met someone like that? Like, they have everything going for them in their life, and then they self-destruct, and they're just going to live in self-destruction? It's horrible to see that sometimes. But in this instance, not only is God interfering, but he's doing so in the context of a miraculous birth, isn't he? So that's kind of cool. I mean, he could have done it any way he wanted, but he's going to be like, I'm going to like Abraham and Sarah this thing, so that way they know it's awesome. Other than God, Manoah and his wife are the key players in the passage of Scripture. We never learn Manoah's wife's name, but we know that she is probably older, and she was childless and unable to give birth. And like I said, it reminds me of Sarah in the Bible, or Sarai. Scripture says that an angel of the Lord appeared to her and that she was going, that she told her that she was going to become pregnant. Do you remember what we call this kind of an encounter? It's a funny word. Do you remember? Aha, Christianese. Here we go. A theophany. Theophany. Do you guys remember that word? Say it with me. Theophany. It's a funny word. Yeah, Elizabeth in the New Testament, you're right. So she had a thought, her husband had a theophany, didn't he? So here's a theophany. What does the term theophany suggest? The first part in there is theo, God. If you look into this scripture deeper, you realize this is not an angel or a messenger. This is God in flesh. So it's like Jesus. Do you remember the Melchizedek in the Bible? And how he was like God? Jesus is called a priest in the order of Melchizedek. So yes, God appeared in physical form before his birth in the manger. And this is one of those times. Theophany. He says that her son's hair is to never be cut because he's supposed to be a Nazarite. Now, Nazarite vows can be found in the book of Numbers. Anyone want to start reading the book of Numbers right now? We'll just start at chapter 1 and go all the way through. No, we're going to, this is in Numbers chapter 6, 1 through 21. There's basically three prohibitions that Nazarites have to follow. The first one is actually, the first one that I'm going to talk about is the only one that Samson is required to keep himself. And that one is to not cut his hair. Okay? So Samson is only held to the hair part. His mom, however, is held to keeping the others. So the Nazirite vow is not only for Samson, it's for who? His mother. And what's the time frame put on this vow? A lifetime. And that's very different, because the thing about a Nazirite vow is that you can end it anytime that you want to do. There's a certain prescription in the book of Numbers that said that lays out how to stop being in a Nazirite vow. You would do it for a time to dedicate yourself to God. You would not drink alcohol. You would not eat certain food. And you would grow your hair. Those are the three things you had to do. But here's the thing. Manoah's wife doesn't remember these things. She doesn't really know about them because the angel has to tell her what it is. Otherwise, he could have just been like, he's going to be raised as a Nazirite, period. And she'd be like, oh, that, yeah, I remember that. No, he has to come back and say, this is how it needs to happen. You're going to do this. The baby's going to do that. I mean, imagine how long his hair was. How long is Samson's hair? I have a friend who's a missionary in Estonia, and I think they're in the States right now. His name is Jordy. You remember Jordy?
Yeah.
His hair, he's got dreads, and they come down to, like, his knees. Long hair. I know he's had a haircut at some point in time in his life, but the guy hasn't had a haircut in a while. So, anyway. So what's interesting here is the angel reiterates that she needs to avoid any unclean food, meaning that it was a common thing in Israel at the time to eat unclean food. If this is God's law saying you're not supposed to eat this food, this food, this food, this food, and this food, I shouldn't have to remind you not to eat this food, and this food. But God is actually having to say, don't eat these foods. Which means they were probably eating it. I mean, they're really lost folks, right? So here's the thing. They had to refrain from alcohol. They had to refrain from cutting the hair. And they had to avoid contact with a dead body. The dead body meaning, and it was translated into here as meaning unclean food. So that's the translation that they're working with here between Numbers and Judges. And as we go through Samson's life, you're going to be happy to know that he was only held to the hair cutting part, because he definitely didn't follow the alcohol or dead body part. But he did follow the hair part. Yeah. All right. So after this first encounter, who does she go tell? Her husband. She goes to talk to her husband that a man of God who looked like an angel, meaning that she only perceives this to be a divine being, not really knowing who it is that she had spoken to. It is God himself speaking. Manoah, however, is not convinced. He is even distrustful of his wife. I don't believe you. So this is what I'm going to do. God, if this really happened, send the man to me so that I will know how to raise the boy. You catch that? He's kind of being rude and snide to his wife. You know, we never do that. But God, in his mercy, grants Manoah's prayer. But where does the man of God go? To Manoah? To his wife. And he waits for the wife to go get the husband. I'm like, go, girl. God answers his prayer, and he goes to the wife. Nothing new is communicated at all to Manoah. Manoah is trying to pump the angel for information here. He's trying to keep the angel around. He's trying to get some glory out of this angel. He's trying to get something more than his wife ever got from the angel. And guess what? The angel's not having it. The angel's not playing favorites here. In the end, Manoah proved a couple things. First of all, that he's paranoid, skeptical, and overall distrusting. Manoah requires signs from God. He says he needs more proof. The last verse of Scripture shows that the word of God comes true, though. She does have a son and names him Samson. Interesting, this name Samson. Do you know what the name Samson means? Well, if you break it down, it's Shemesh. Shemesh means son. It's also the name of the Canaanite sun god. She named the miraculously born son after one of the local pagan gods. Wow. Yeah, it doesn't look so good, does it? She named him after one of the local false gods. Not exactly what you would call a person a god, huh? It's like, but here's the thing, God's still going to use him, isn't he? Despite all of this, Scripture says that God blessed him anyway. The passage says much more about Samson's parents than it does about him. Despite having two visits from the Lord, they're still pretty lost. The story, however, will only reinforce the negative characterization of Samson. Even with his special and miraculous birth and Nazarite status, Samson is going to prove to be the judge who is least interested in being a deliverer. He's characterized as a self-gratifying brute, a prankish womanizer, whose acts of deliverance are rarely better than products of his own spiteful nature. The last hope of Israel in Judges is then a judge deliverer who chases women instead of enemies and who avenges personal grievances instead of delivering his nation from their oppressors. Apathy. Apathy. There's so much apathy towards spiritual matters and their own oppression. There's a lack of spiritual perception. They can't tell when God is in their own midst. They need an attitude check. But what about us? What about you? Are there areas in your life that you've become apathetic? You just don't care anymore. You know, when I was in the Army on my last deployment, I was going through a lot mentally. And God was still growing me up because I had a lot of growing up to do. When I came back, I was very angry. But more than that, I had this thing that I call compassion fatigue. This is a common thing that it's called that. I didn't care anymore. Have you ever gone to that place in your life before where you just didn't care anymore? People could get hurt. I don't care. People could be in pain. I just don't care. You have zero compassion for anyone. And a lot of times it's because you're so hurt yourself, you can't perceive others' pain. You've lost your empathy. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful God brought me out of that. took time. But here's the thing. I think we still deal with apathy in our families. I think sometimes we've kind of given up. Well, they're just going to be that way. They're always going to be that way. There's nothing I can do to change them. Nothing I can say that's going to change them or make them a better person. There's nothing I can say or do that's going to bring them to Jesus. Well, that's partially true. You don't bring people to Jesus. God brings people to himself. The Holy Spirit brings people to Jesus, to the Lord. But the thing is that we still have to do our part, right? We still have to do some of the basic things. We sit back and we wait for our calling. God, I'm just going to sit here and wait for my calling. I'm just going to wait for you to say something to me so that I can do something specific. When we have standing orders from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we have standing orders from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're all sitting back waiting for God's word to say, for God to say something that we forgot the word of God itself. Love God and love others as you love yourself. This discipleship that we've got, this discipleship event that we got going on Friday, if you can make it, that'd be great. But that's all about loving God with your life. Discipleship, building yourself up as a believer. Going and making disciples. These are standing orders from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, isn't it? But yet we have apathy. How many times have you had an instance where you've come up with you've been around someone or experienced life around someone and you could just tell that they're incredibly lost? And you're like, wow, really wish someone would come by and share the Lord with them. It could be you. You could do that. You're kind of there. You could at least pray something. Do something, right? Right. Oh, there's always something you can do, though. You could always pray. They can't stop you from doing that. What are they going to do? Throw you in the fire? They're going to throw you in the fire or throw you into a den with lions or something? I think there's a story about that in the Bible. It's the worst thing that could happen. You could lose your job for what? Sharing the faith? Go for it. Go for it. I'd rather be faithful to the King of Kings than to a boss any day of the week. I'm going to tell you, I used to work at an electrical supply factory when I lived in Omaha, Nebraska, and I was a chaplain assistant in the Army, and one of the guys in my unit, his son got run over by a lawnmower. The grandfather was driving one of those riding lawnmowers and didn't hear his grandson, his two-year-old grandson, running up to him and accidentally ran over him with that lawnmower. And he was hurt. He was in the hospital. He did not die. He did survive. There was surgeries that had to happen and things like that, but as far as I know, he's doing okay now. But I'd heard about this from my unit, and they said, we don't have anyone that can go and be with him. We didn't have a chaplain or anything like that. And I remember going home, and I said, we need to go. I told my wife, I said, we need to go. So we went to the hospital, and we met with them, and here I am. I'm, what, 22? 22 years old, meeting this family. I don't have kids. I don't know what it's like to have a kid. And I'm just there, and we pray, and I walked away from that hospital that day, and I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't be a part-time chaplain assistant and I can't do this. I need to do one or the other. And I knew at that moment that there was a development of my personal calling in my life, and I needed to do something about it. And I ended up going back to work, And I told my boss, I said, hey, I need to take some time off to go see this guy in the hospital. And you know what he said? He said, you do that on your own time. You either work for the Army or you work for me. Because I was in the reserves at the time, and so it wasn't like a full-time job or anything. But so I took the hint, and during my lunch break, I went to the recruiter's office and went active duty. I went back to work after the weekend on Monday. I went back to work and went in, and I said, I quit, and I walked out. My boss had so much apathy towards the suffering of this person. I could have been a part of bringing some relief or something. And I left. It changed my life. After I went active duty, I deployed to Iraq. And now we know the story about how where things got to where they were. I went on leave and we had a baby. Hi, that's you. And I mean, my life completely changed because of this moment where I did not have apathy. I didn't accept that. I think a lot of us in the church, however, have become apathetic in our Christianity. We're not intentional anymore. I don't know if it's because we're afraid or we're worried that it's going to create confrontation. If you're tired. I mean, that's a lot of times what it is. You're set in your ways, right? Well, this is just how my life is. This is how I do every single day. Well, is that a problem? Just because you've done something the same way all the time, does that make it right? I think I remember the definition of a word that goes like this: doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is the definition of insanity. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You think you've been commanded to reach other people for Jesus. But if you do the same things over and over and over again, expecting a different result, is that God's fault or are you just crazy? Has compromise with the world caused us to become unresponsive to God's word, to his standards of morality, to his promises, expectations for our lives? Have we become dull, not sharp? Are we unable to discern God's word anymore? Sometimes we're waiting to hear from God, but the thing is we don't even know how to listen. Do we demand personal verification, such as, God, I think you're asking me to do this, but I kind of need the stars to pop a little bit more tonight? Or I need my horoscope to say otherwise. I'm just throwing it out there. God, I think you're calling me to do this, but I really need you to like open up the heavens and make a fire come down. I need an angel. That's what I need. I need an angel. Or, you know, some people would do silly things like, God, if you want me to reach people today, you're going to give me a great parking spot at the mall. If then, if then, if then, if then. You know what they call that? Huh? Now there's a specific term. Quid pro quo. Quid pro quo. If you do this, then I'll do that. Well, I'm sorry, folks. That's not how God works. Sometimes he's gracious to us, and he does these things. It reminds me of Elijah when he's on the mountain. God had already given the word to the people, but they'd all decided they were going to go worship Baal and all this, you know, all the Canaanite, you know, the ones that they've defeated. They're going to worship their gods and everything. And he says, all right, fine, we'll put God to the test. You build an altar to Baal, I'll build an altar to the Lord, and whoever gets burnt, whosever altar gets burned up by God, by their God, wins. That's mercy right there. It's an amazing story, and God does something pretty cool. He burns up the offering, the altar, the water, everything. The guys that worship Baal are basically like cutting themselves, trying to get a piece of metal to pay attention to them. Kind of seems dumb when you think about it, but man, do we do a lot of things for a lot of dumb things too? How many of you all sacrifice your lives up and down, left and right, just to make money? God has so much grace for us. I'm so amazed that he's never going to leave us or forsake us. What I find really interesting about Samson is there's no other judge in the book of Judges that has more potential, more advantages than Samson. But he accomplishes less on behalf of his people than any of his predecessors. And we're going to learn more about that in the next few weeks. We have so many opportunities right now, church. We have so many tools in front of us. So much devices that could help us. There's stuff in the back of the church you literally could take to people and start a conversation. I mean, the gospel is easily given out in this nation. And I think sometimes that actually is a problem. The church is growing faster in communist China than it is in the United States. They go to jail for sharing their faith. You just may get a reprimand from your job. We have access to the most sophisticated communication structure on the planet. And we spend more time learning a TikTok dance than we do sharing our faith. We spend more time watching videos that are not going to enrich our lives in any way or bring us closer to Jesus in any way than we do sharing our faith. We spend more time consuming junk media than reading the Word of God or developing our relationship with Him or sharing our faith. We're already approaching February this month, or this week. January just flew right by us. Take an assessment this month. How much time of your life was spent on your relationship with Jesus compared to all of everything else? There's a wonderful passage in the Bible, and we talk about this whenever it comes to money. Money shows you where your heart is. You want to know where your heart is? Open the bank app on your phone. Man, am I preaching to myself today or what? I'm preaching to everybody, hopefully. Money will show you where your heart is. You work for those funds. You work hard for it. What do you spend it on? My daughter's looking at me because she knows I have to be kept accountable too. Don't I? Mm-hmm. We have so many opportunities. It's kind of like being really, really strong. I want to point something out. Did the angel of God say that Samson was going to be strong? Did the angel of God say that Samson was going to have supernatural strength? No. He said he was going to be a Nazarite, which means his life was supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. But it wasn't. And despite that, God's grace came through. And I'm thankful for that. But I feel really sorry for Samson. Despite Samson, God came through for other people. And what's really sad is that despite us, and when we fail, God is still going to come through. And that is a victory for the Lord. But it's so sad when we don't follow through. Stand with me today. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for all of us in this room that we can embrace the grace that you have for us, God. That we can embrace the calling that you've already given us. We don't have to search for it. It's in writing. And it's something we've agreed to do because we've agreed to become believers in Jesus. It's a part of the whole gig. You believe in Jesus, you love God. You believe in Jesus, you love others as you love yourself. You believe in Jesus, you go and make disciples. You believe in Jesus, then you follow the dedicated individual calling that he has given to you in your life. And Lord, I call upon everyone in this room, myself included, my family included, that we would make the drastic change that we need to make. That we would dedicate ourselves fully to you. That our fruit would be obvious to the world. That what we produce would be obvious to the world that it comes from the Lord. That takes pain and change. Because it hurts to give up the things that we love more than you. But Lord Jesus, it is better to be with you. It's better to be with you in your courts than 1,000 other places, God. And I pray that we would find ourselves in those places. Change our hearts. Change our lives. Bring us closer to you in every way, God. In your name, amen. God bless. You guys have an amazing, wonderful rest of your week. And look forward to see you again.